Enjoy your children.
All right, I'm ready.
November 5th, regular planning board meeting, 2025. This meeting's been advertised pursuant to Public Law 231, also known as the Open Public Meeting Act. Everything related to this meeting has been posted at the Knight Building at 12th Street 10 days before the meeting. And let's go to a flag salute, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And a roll call, please.
Mr. Adams?
Here.
Mr. Allegretto?
Here.
Mr. Barnes?
Here.
Mr. Becker?
Here.
Mr. Birch?
Here.
Mrs. Halliday? Mr. Jessel? Mr. Loper?
Here.
Mr. Shepherd?
Here.
Mr. Stell? Dr. Vandeshore?
Mr. Teitler?
Hey, Mr. Chair.
The applicant?
For the record, David Teitler here on behalf of the applicants. It's a minor subdivision application of Martin Prince LLC. That entity is the owner of 210 Gall Road. And Samuel and Rita LaRosa, they are the owners of 64 Morningside Road. The subject of this application is to adjust the property line between the two properties and also to construct a new single-family dwelling on proposed lot 8.01 only. The subdivision seeks to move the lot line between the two properties to create a larger proposed 8.01 by removing an easement area contained on lot 10.01 and adding it to lot 8.01. The easement area was created for the benefit of the existing Lot 8, which will uncomplicate the current situation at the properties by doing what we intend to do. In addition, a portion of the common lot line will also be rounded at the driveway area, which will create a safer situation for ingress and egress to the proposed Lot 8.01 and create more harmonious lot sizes for both properties. Variance relief is required for minimum lot depth for both proposed lots. Rear yard setback for both proposed lots, maximum building coverage for proposed lot 10.01 only, and minimum lot width, maximum building height, and maximum habitable stories, all for proposed lot 8.01. It's important to note that neither of the properties are conforming for lot depth and rear yard setback and building coverage as they sit now on existing lot 8. It's also not conforming for side yard setback, building coverage, and impervious coverage. Those three conditions that I just mentioned will be brought to conformity as a result of this application. The 1 foot height variance and a habitable stairways variance is requested for the proposed new single family dwelling. Rebecca Fellerman is sitting to my left here to testify regarding the reasoning and justification for these requests. However, what's extremely important is that the proposed new dwelling on lot 8.01 will remove 10 existing non-conformities at the property. Additionally, that dwelling will have a greater north side setback than permitted. The aggregate side yard setback will be greater. The maximum building coverage will be less than what's permitted. The impervious coverage is being significantly reduced, and the floor area ratio is going to be 10% less than what the maximum could be. The requested variance is to be granted under the C2 standard that the subdivision will produce a safer, more functional arrangement for properties. The final dwelling on lot 8.01 will produce a building that will be consistent with the neighborhood scheme and zone. It will be harmonious with other existing homes in the area. It will remove 10 existing non-conforming conditions at the property, and it will provide a tremendous aesthetic improvement from what's there now. The positive aspects granted this application outweigh negative aspects. As a result, the testimony and evidence will indicate that there is no substantial detriment to the public good. Granted, the variance is not substantially greater than the intent or purpose of the zoning plan and zoning ordinance. The applicants intend on calling two witnesses at least tonight. We're going to start with the project surveyor, Paul Holland.
Good evening, Mr. Colling. Mr. Testimony, you're about to give this evening the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth of God.
I do.
And the chairman will recognize Mr. Colling.
And you have been in front of us on many occasions, and we are familiar with your credentials, and you may proceed.
Thank you. Colling, can you provide the board a brief overview of the subdivision?
A brief overview of the subdivision is a realignment of the lot lines only. Also take away a bunch of easements that were laying over the existing properties. We'd be able to put a new single family dwelling on one lot, the other houses to remain.
So it's you testified this is just a lot line adjustment, correct?
Correct.
All right. And the existing situation, I don't know if it's a technical term, but it's messy back there.
Correct.
All right. So what we're trying to do is clean up this messy situation by, number one, removing the easement areas that you just testified to, correct?
Correct.
Can you point them out on your subdivision plans so we can see, direct them to where they are?
I was talking to the owners out there. The existing easements are back in and here in this area, so they would have to go back there in the park.
And those areas are going to be removed and
extinguished,
and then the easement areas are going to be consolidated with proposed lot 8.01, correct?
Correct.
Which is part of lot 8 as it exists now?
Correct.
Okay. All right, and would it be your testimony that what we're proposing is more functional for both sites compared to what's there now?
Yes.
Okay. Provide for better egress and egress?
Yes.
And it would also be your testimony that what we're proposing from a subdivision standpoint is a better zoning alternative for the lot than what lots, both lots as well.
It's a lot cleaner without a doubt.
Okay. Those are all of the questions I have, Mr. Coleman, for the moment.
Board, have any questions?
On the board, that's what the members have, correct? It's not
that correct. That is the minor subdivision plan that was submitted.
Correct. Okay. I just want to make sure it's not an exhibit. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next witness is going to be the project architect, Rebecca Fellman.
Good evening. Can you spell my last name?
F as in Frank, E-L-L-E-R-M-A-N.
Good evening, Mr. Holman. It's a testimony you're about to give this evening. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, all the time.
Yes.
I think it's been a long time since this song has been in front of us. Your credential statement.
I'm going to qualify her. Rebecca, could you introduce yourself to the board by providing them with the benefit of your educational professional background?
Yes. So I have been with Asher Swan White Architects for over 21 years. My total architectural experience is more than 30. I am a licensed architect in New Jersey, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. My graduate degree was from the Catholic University of America. I have a Bachelor of Science in Architecture and a Bachelor's of Architecture.
And Ms. Fellerman, you've testified before the Land Use Boards of New Jersey, is that correct?
Yes, I've been before the Ocean City Zoning Board many times.
That was my next question. And in those experiences, you've been qualified as an expert in architecture, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
We can take her credentials and she can proceed.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, Rebecca, could you provide the board an overview of the application, subdivision, and plans, please?
Yes. I'm going to move this here over to this day.
I can hold whatever you want.
No, we're good. So I've actually had a lot of experience with this property. We did designs for the previous owner as well as the current owner. It's a oddly shaped lot. It's a flagpole lot because the driveway is on Morningside, whereas the main lot is oriented toward Gull. This dark line is the current property line. This area is currently a parking easement. And interestingly, the easement has caused a lot of confusion. The previous owner actually thought they owned that portion, and it was only until we got the survey into the title search that they were came to understand it was an easement to the benefit of Gull. So a large part of why we're here today is to normalize these pieces and parts by giving part of the easement area to 210 Gull, and also normalizing the area here. As you can see, the existing flagpole driveway and the current property line, it's a very sharp turn. The new proposed subdivision gives a more normalized turning radius to make it safer to negotiate that 90 degree and park in the proposed garage. So again, as Avery mentioned, it's a bit messy and chopped up at the moment with easements overlaid, the larger one here. There's actually a small triangle easement here in the hopes of negotiating the corner, and we're kind of cleaning all that up.
It's not the most functional or safe layout for ingress or egress.
No, and as I said, the larger easement area has kind of been a point of confusion for the path owners.
I'm going to go through some variances just so we can get this testimony on the record to describe the variances that we need. We need lot depth for both proposed lots, is that correct?
Yes.
All right. We need rear yard setback for both proposed lots, although the rear yard setback on proposed lot 8.01 is only a very small portion of the property.
Do we want to do an overview and then dive in?
Sure.
Okay. supposed to go through everything, or I can speak to that?
We'll go into everything. Okay. So we're going to testify. You're going to testify shortly about the rear yard setback on the proposed
lot. It is quite small.
Building coverage for lot 10.01, but again, nothing's changing on 10.01. That is 64 Morningside, correct?
Yes. So 64 Morningside is lot 10.01. 210 Gull is lot 8.01. Just so everyone's clear, it's a lot of numbers.
All right. And then you heard me say we need lot width, building height, and habitable stories for lot 8.01 only. That's the house where the lot where the new house is proposed to be built, correct?
Correct.
And these are obviously all C variances, otherwise we wouldn't be here, correct?
Correct.
All right. So let's dive into the height variance, because I think that's something that the board's going to want an explanation on. So can you describe and discuss the height variance for the proposed building?
I have an exhibit, which is here.
We'll mark that.
So this is the same front elevation in your packet, so I've just enlarged the scale. And so this is just the front elevation at a larger scale.
Excuse me, Solomon. Mr. Arteta, that'll be in exhibit A1.
That's already in the packet, I believe.
But I think it was
just not enlarged.
It's not enlarged. You want it? It's still part of your submission.
We already have it?
Yes.
We have sheet EX-3.0.
Okay, then they're enlarged with that.
Let's do it here. I think it's B-3.0.
No, this says EX-3.0.
So the exhibit is an enlargement of the same exact information.
We'll mark it. Let's just mark it.
We can certainly mark it.
It's not the same as what's in the packet.
A1 under today's date.
Okay. And we'll call it a height diagram.
That's what we'll call it.
But however, for point of reference, it's very similar to what's already been submitted as B-3.0.
Thank you. Please proceed.
So the maximum allowable building height for the existing lot based on lot width is 31 feet. After the subdivision, the 210 Gold Road lot, lot 8.1, is actually getting a little narrower, which puts us into a 1 foot lower height zone of 30 feet from ZFU. All right. So the proposed height from first floor is 31. Okay. Now, what's interesting about this this property is, we have set our proposed first floor and based on the flood ordinance. So the first floor, the underside of the lowest structural member is a DFE, which is BFE plus 2, which places our first floor 1 foot higher than that. So our first floor is BFE plus 3. Now, as you all know, zoning flood elevation has multiple definitions. The most common one is exactly the same, BFE plus 3. However, in this case, because grade is within 2 feet of BFE, the ZFE actually ends up being 3 feet from grade. So our ZFE, which is our typical height, is actually below our first floor. So from first floor, we're at 31 feet, which is what we could build currently. But measuring from BFE, there's an additional 1'8" of height below the first floor. And that's solely based on the specific characteristics of this lot, grade in relation to base flood.
So I want to go back to something that you testified to at the very outset of your testimony. The lot as it sits today, prior to subdivision, it can have an allowable height of 31 feet. Is that correct?
Correct.
Which is exactly what we're proposing for this particular house.
Right. When measured from first floor, which is the normative.
Correct. And then by virtue of the subdivision, our lot width is being reduced because we're taking the average of the rear property line and the front property line, and it brings us out of the 55-foot width down to the lower category.
Correct.
So we're relegated to 30 feet.
Correct.
Okay. So if we were to build this house as it sits today, we wouldn't need a height variance.
Measured from first floor. No.
Correct. All right. And then you just gave the testimony regarding the other rationale for requiring the height variance. So there really is two different points in terms of why the height variance would be justifiable in this particular scenario.
Correct.
And it is only 1 foot higher than permitted, as the property will be after subdivision.
When measured from first floor.
And that is shown on exhibit A1, correct?
So just to show here, this heavy line, this is our proposed first floor at BFE plus 3. This is the DFE line, which is the lowest point, the underside of our floor structure, which are floor joists. And then VFE is here within 2 feet of grade. So our ZFE is measured from average grade, where normally it's measured 3 feet above VFE. So if this lot had a VFE higher than 2 feet from grade, we wouldn't be here at all. We would be completely conforming.
And this is only the ridge that's going to exceed the permitted height. It's not creating any additional living space, any additional habitable space. It's just this small sliver of peak.
Correct. The yellow shaded area is the area affected by the height, and again, measured from the zoning benchmark of ZFE. But it's in the peak of the roof. So we're talking about the volume that's pointed. It's not a flat roof building. We're in a steeply sloped building. The dormers are all conforming in slope and the required setbacks. So it's a very small amount of area.
The next variance I want you to go over is the rear yard setback. So I think it's going to be quick, and we're going to introduce another exhibit.
So this is another exhibit. And again, this is simply an enlargement of what you have for clarity in today's discussion.
Ms. Garland, we're going to mark that A2 under today's page, and we're going to call it what?
Rear yard setback diagram. All right, Rebecca, can you describe for the board the rear yard setback variance in conjunction with that exhibit that you prepared?
Yes. So because it's an oddly shaped lot, we calculate the 25% of the main side property lines, and that's our rear yard. And then we measure it in a staggered fashion. So we have sort of a segmented rear yard. We have rear yard setback 1 and rear yard setback 2. The green shaded area is the area within the rear yard setback that we are not placing a building in. The small yellow area is the area of the proposed building that is over the rear yard setback. But I also want to point out that the existing building is far closer to the setback, and I can give you that exact point.
So it's a condition that we're significantly improving.
Correct. So the area of the proposed that's over the rear yard setback is 28.9 square feet. This area of unused rear yard setback is over 400 square feet. And this distance from proposed house to this property line is, 27 feet 3. The existing building, however, is 21 feet 3 to that property line. So we are reducing an existing nonconformity with this proposal.
So, I mean, it's under those metrics, not only are you improving this existing non-conforming condition, but the amount of building that encroaches into the rear yard setback is almost the minimum in nature.
Correct.
Okay.
There's one more point I'd like to make. The existing property, the garage, is right here within 3 feet of the house. By moving the proposed garage here, we are removing a fire hazard and not only meeting, but significantly exceeding the required distance between house and garage.
Have you ever seen a garage that close to a primary house?
No, and the first time I visited the site, I kind of had to do this to get between the buildings for our measurements. It was quite something.
Not a safe condition?
No.
Okay. All right, the last variance I'd like you to go through is the variance for habitable stories.
Yes.
And I understand we're going to have Exhibit A3 for that, correct?
We are. So should I label this A3, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
We're going to call this habitable story diagram, Garrett.
Okay. Let's get to my notes. So we are requesting a half-story variance. The current requirement is 2.4. We're requesting 2.71. However, there are three ways to define the area of a half story, and I just want to take you through them. They're all in the code. The most common one for half story, and before I start, I want to point out that all of these are math calculations. The shape of the building isn't changing from calculation to calculation. So the first one is the half-story area is typically taken 5 feet above the third floor, and we calculate that area And that's the shaded area here. And to get the percentage, it's the percentage of the area below. So that the area of the second floor, the area of the third floor, and we figured that out. So that area at 5 feet high is a little under 1,250 square feet. That's what we're requesting. However, there are other controls on the half story. The goal of the code is to reduce the bulk of these third floors. So we have the FAR, and then in addition to that, of course, we have the roof pitch requirements and the dormer setbacks. So FAR, which is taken at the interior face of wall, the area of the third floor is 1,100 feet. So we've come down. And most interestingly, the last area that's calculated according to the code is habitable space, which are these blue areas. Now, habitable space, FAR is at 7 feet high, half stories at 5. Habitable space is at 7.5 feet above the floor. That's where we take our area. And it also excludes hallways, bathrooms, and closets. So the habitable space of our top floor is actually below the 0.4 requirement at 0.35. So again, the building has not changed as we've walked through these different ways of calculating. All of them are in the code, and the purpose of the code is met by the shape of the roof and the required setbacks. It's just a question of how we calculate the space.
I know you're a cat lover, but I'm going to say it anyway. There's a lot of different ways to skin this cat.
Yes.
But what's most important about your testimony is that the floor area ratio, which is the number that the New Jersey Municipal Land Use Law considers so valuable that they've made that a D variance, a higher category of variances, that number for this property proposed is 10% less than what it could be.
Correct.
So, I mean, that's a significant factor in terms of the building not having the mass and scale that it could have. Would that be a fair statement?
Correct.
Anything else you want to add regarding the habitable stories? All right. So, despite the fact that we need the variance relief you just testified to, the proposed dwelling is going to remove 10 existing non-conforming conditions that currently exist at the property. Is that correct?
Correct.
Do you want to run through them real quick for the board?
Yes. Let me go back.
And they're actually on your site plan, which is V1.0, correct?
Yes.
Those are all of the...
So all of the green shaded areas in your zoning chart, in your packets, are existing non-conformities that we are removing. So we're removing the side yard setback on the north side. We don't currently meet the minimum. The existing house is 4.17 from the property line. The proposed is 6.54. Building coverage, the existing building does not meet the current building coverage. We're allowed 35%. The proposed is below that at 34.83. The existing house is 38.66. Next up is impervious coverage. The existing impervious, we're allowed 60%, we're at 76.99, and the proposed is significantly below that at 46.84.
That's a tremendous reduction. That's 30% almost.
Correct. We're putting in Ocean City approved permeable paving for the entire driveway and parking port, and that will, of course, improve stormwater drainage for this site. In addition to that, the existing building has several bay windows that project over the setbacks and don't conform. We're removing those. The existing building has a basement. We are filling in the basement. The house will be completely flood ordinance conforming. There is a crawl space below the proposed, and the top of that slab will be above all adjacent grade. And then the existing building is below the minimum required first floor of BFE plus 3. We should be at, where is it? I can't believe it. So we should be at 13, thanks Mike. And the existing building is at 10.98, so it's 2 feet below the current first floor minimum. And the garage we've already spoken to, that it not only doesn't need a side yard setback, but it also, the existing garage is far too close to the main building. It's required to have 8 feet of separation, and it has 3. The proposed garage has 23 feet of separation between house and garage. And then the other thing about the existing garage that's non-conforming is they're actually using that as living space now. And then the last one, I think we got them actually.
I think you hit them all. So I want to just bring this up again because I think it's very important. In addition to getting rid of these 10 existing non-conforming conditions that currently exist, the west side setback and the aggregate side yard setback are going to be less than what they could be. Or I should say greater. They're going to be greater setbacks than what the maximums would be, correct?
Correct.
And this is important on the west side, too. The west side is pulled about 2 feet off of where it is right now. It's about 4.2. It's going to be over 6 feet. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. You testified about the building impervious coverage. The building coverage is under the threshold, and then the impervious coverage is being reduced by approximately 30%.
Correct.
All right. And despite the request for the habitable story, still 10% under a floor area ratio.
Correct.
All right. The home that you designed, it's proposed to be a custom home specifically suited for this lot and the neighborhood. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes.
All right. And part of the goal here is to keep the character of the neighborhood and the new development that's going on around, correct?
Correct. It's a traditional shingle style.
And, you know, we wanted to keep the detached garage because the detached garage provides not only character but a measure of privacy to some of the homes. However, we wanted that detached garage with a location that was less impactful to the neighborhood and conforming location. Would that be fair?
Correct.
All right. Rebecca, would it be your testimony that the subdivision is going to produce a safe and more functional arrangement for the properties?
Absolutely.
And this would satisfy purposes then?
Correct.
Would it be your opinion that what we're proposing here tonight is a better zoning alternative for the lots?
Absolutely.
And so, in addition to being a better zoning alternative for the lots, would it be your professional opinion that the variances that we're requesting tonight can be granted under the C2 or flexible criteria?
Yes.
And they may also be able to be granted under the C1 or hardship criteria based upon the uniqueness of this arrangement and these lots. This is something unique that I don't think I've ever seen in terms of flag lot.
Correct.
Around the corner, especially in Ocean City. But let's go through the purposes of zoning that are being met. You testified to these, so I'm going to run through them quickly. Obviously, you're removing 10 existing non-conforming conditions, which promotes general welfare, correct? We're below the maximum threshold for several important bulk categories.
Correct.
Okay. We didn't really touch on this too much, but you're taking really a dilapidated, non-conforming eyesore and removing it.
Yes, the current house has been leaking for years, and it's a mold hazard. It's currently uninhabitable.
And, yeah, I mean, it's not only, yeah, you can hit the nail on the head, it's not inhabitable, and it's just a really good poor condition, correct?
Correct.
All right. And what you've designed here is what I would consider aesthetically pleasing.
Yes, I think so.
All right. And it would also create more light and air of the space as a result of the shrunken setbacks, the aggregate side yard setback, and also the west side yard setback?
Correct. And also more health and safety, removing the basement, removing the garage. It's so close to the house that it's a fire hazard.
One final one. We're going to promote the freer flow of traffic, too, with this new parking arrangement and new ingress.
Yes, much safer. Better visibility, better ease of parking.
And I'll call it the pole portion of the lot coming in off of Morningside.
Yes.
All right. Will the benefits granted this application outweigh any detriments?
I believe so, yes.
All right. Any substantial impairments to the intent and purpose of the zone plan or zoning ordinance?
No, I believe this proposal advances the purposes of the zoning.
And that's in light of your testimony regarding, you know, what I consider the height variance and then also the height variance.
Correct.
All right. So it would be your testimony that the negative criteria has been satisfied to the board to grant the application?
Yes.
Okay, those are all the questions I have for Ms. Sullivan.
Board have questions?
Yes, Mr. Allen.
Just a question, obviously, as a historian says, the pole lot with the driveway, it's a different type of setup for Ocean City. But just looking, I guess, at the parking, it seems like, so I guess you're pulling over, have to back all the way down that long driveway to get out to the street?
No, actually, we believe there's sufficient space to do a K-turn so that you can nose out.
There is now, after the subdivision, it'll provide more space to do that K-turn.
Yeah, okay, I was looking, I'm not sure how you do the K-turn, but get two cars there, where how you back in, I guess, the car closer to the pool, how you backing that up? I guess I'm looking at this,
you're going to have to back it straight back and then make the U-turn.
And there's no space to do that?
For car number two, you are.
Yeah. Like I'm saying, it seems like you had three cars that have shown here, but I don't know how you make the K-turn.
Carefully.
I'm unfortunately, people are always careful on vacation unless you're living.
Well, this is going to be, not looking at this spot to be an Airbnb.
No, I understand. But obviously, we're adding, and by increasing the tour, obviously, you're adding data. It allows you to have a bedroom. So it seems like we're going to be parts here to park and have people slow in and out. And keep them off the street would be the goal.
Yeah,
I want to make sure that's happening.
Yes.
We're going to grant.
So I want to talk to you about that because this is something that, from the outset of the project, we were kind of kicking around.
Bless you.
Right now, there's no curb cut on Goldman. The property, everything accesses off of Morningside. It's an extremely unusual arrangement. It's been like this many years. It was subject of litigation many, many moons ago when I started out down here. There was thought to just trying to get rid of that and scrap it all together and figure it out. The issue with that is you're going to create a curb cut off of Gold Road. You're going to have a smaller lot on Gold Road, presumably. And then what you're going to have is a bigger house that's going to go three stories over parking because you're not going to have any alley access.
Correct. That's what I'm talking about.
And it's what's the lesser two evils here.
Correct. Okay.
So.
No, I understand all that. I was asking just trying to see how it's actually going to flow in.
I figured I'd address that now because that was something we were going to bring out in testimony, but I'm glad you brought it up and then that way.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate you trying to add in a curb cut.
Absolutely.
Taking,
22 feet on Gold Road.
Maybe one or two spots off of the street there.
Yeah.
Which I understand that.
In parking, I realize this is a single family home.
Will be now.
But this whole long driveway coming in off of Morningside, could that be a parking lot for this house eventually?
It can't legally because there's no buffer.
So the existing driveway is only 9 feet. So in order to count it as parking, we need a foot of buffer on each side of the 9 feet. So that's why you don't see any graphic for parking spaces along that driveway. Legally, we cannot consider it part of the parking count.
Plus, there's no buffer for the property line.
Yeah. We have to have the 9 feet and then a foot on each side, those buffers in the code, to count it as parking.
The survey I have in front of me shows it at 10 feet.
Yes. I'm sorry, I misspoke. It is 10, but again, 9
yeah,
plus 1 plus 1.
You still don't have the buffer.
Correct.
I that's what threw it up to me, is that, whatever. Any other questions from the board?
I just have one follow-up to Mike's question about the two cars parking there. So there's two feet, one inch, looks like a buffer, as you're looking at the garage to the left. In practical, in day-to-day, cars can shift over, correct?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay.
You're talking about to the 64 Morning, closer to the Morningside property line?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They are a party to this application. They want this as much as we do. They're interested in creating this arrangement.
But they don't. They wouldn't know that. That 2.1 goes to the new construction. So what I'm saying is that this area here can, in day-to-day life, park closer to
sure,
here.
Sure. Day-to-day life, yeah.
Yeah.
And they could park on that pole portion of the flag, although you wouldn't want them to.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a benefit. That would make that turning radius better.
I agree. Yeah.
Any other questions? If you're kind of at rest, I'm going to...
We're at rest.
...my professionals. Mr. Shule.
Mr. Chairman. This application is September 30th, 2025. We go right through to the zoning conformance chart, page 3. The variances have been identified. I just wanted to touch on a few things in my schedule. The first item is the minimum lot width. I did not correctly interpret the way lot width would be calculated here. The variance is required based on the metrics and the fact that the front and the rear lot line are different, means you have to take an average. So that information is brought out in very nice detail on sheet V1.0 of the architect's plans if you want to see how the calculation was made. But there is a variance required for lot width for lot 8.01, as is minimum rear yard and maximum building height has been testified to, and maximum habitable storage for that property for that lot. A lot 10.01, there's a minimum lot depth variance in the rear yard and the max building coverage is required. In my review comments, the applicants provided, I think, very credible justification for the variances that have been identified. The comment two in my report goes away. Comment three, as a condition of approval, we'd like to see a location detail for the pool fence on lot 8 to be added to the plans. I'm not sure her testimony on number 4. The outdoor shower is not a permitted rear yard encroachment on lot 8. The garage is permitted where it is, but they've attached now an outdoor shower to that, which is not listed in 25.300.01 as a permitted rear yard encroachment. So perhaps we would get some justification for that outdoor shower. Number 6, I cited the need for a design waiver for the driveway coming in off of Morningside. If that driveway is not being changed, that design waiver can be ignored, quite honestly. If the existing construction that's not being changed, you can ignore that. Some testimony from the applicant regarding that would be appropriate. Again, if the board is inclined to approve this, we need to see street trees on both properties. Gold Road, those trees are here, but I don't think we saw trees for Morningside Road. Conform with the ordinance, they should be added to the plan. And rolling over on page 6, standard conditions of approval for any subdivision that the board would see. That's the extent of my comments. Just any questions?
Questions for Mr. Short? Seeing none, are you going to do Mr. Scheidick's report?
I don't know if the applicant, maybe the way to handle that, Mr. Scheidick isn't here, is if the applicant would be agreeable, again, if the board is inclined to approve, if the board, the applicant is agreeable to all Dave's comments, maybe just handle it that way.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, maybe I can deal with that issue right now.
Sure.
Go for it. Mr. Tyler, your clients have had an opportunity to review Mr. Short's report and Mr. Schleider's report. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
And those reports, subject to the change that Mr. Schull just described, are acceptable to your client?
Yes.
Very good. Then that takes care of that. And I just have one cleanup question on this. Could I have the exact, maybe Mr. Solomon can give it to us, the exact minimum that the variance that you did not list in your report? What the calculation is.
Calculation for what?
Lot width.
Lot width.
So it, the calculation for lot width is on
8.01.
Yeah, 8.01, and then
it's in my report. It's in it was cited in my report correctly, but I was just questioning whether they needed that or not. They do.
But they do need it.
So the existing is 57.68, opposed to 54.07. which pushes them below that 55-foot threshold and makes the difference from the 30 to the 31 foot.
I just wanted to make sure I'm in the right math. Okay, thank you. Right. But the report's confirmed, acceptable to your client, fine.
I just did have a question about, Dave indicates that 8.01 doesn't meet the setback for the driveway.
Well, it doesn't. That's a question I kick back to the applicant,
okay.
Whether if that's not changing,
it's not changing.
That would be an existing condition.
And did you want Dave to prepare the cost estimates?
Yes.
If this is granted? Thank
yes.
you.
So Dave will handle, Mr. Scheidick will handle 1,600.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Any additional questions for anybody before I open it to the public? Can I have a motion to open it to the public?
So moved, Chuck.
Do I have a second?
Pass. No.
Okay. Anyone from the... all in favor?
Aye.
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 We are for commonplace for an application, PBA 25-003. Anyone from the public have any comment? Please come forward. We'll start on this side. And when you get to the microphone, you're going to have to state your name, your address.
Marie Crawford, 835 Collin Place.
What was your, hold on, spell your last name, please.
C-R-A-W-F-O-R-D.
And your address?
835 Pelham Place.
Good evening, Ms. Carver. Is the testimony you're about to give this evening the truth? The whole truth and nothing but the truth, self and God.
Yes, sir. I've seen the property. I just haven't seen it. I think that's a great improvement to end that easement. I had a question about, I thought Mr. Teitler had said that the lot narrowed on Gull, and if that's accurate, and the lot width is less, then I was curious about how close that driveway would be to the properties that it goes behind, because there are properties behind the driveway, if I'm correct. Also, I'm curious about the overall height of the building, because now that the BFE is higher, how much taller will the building be than it was before? So adding the third floor, it sounds like it's going to be taller, much taller than it was.
Thank you. Anyone else on this side, please? Feel free. We don't bite.
Rick Trainer, 212 Gull Road.
By your last name, Mr. Trainer.
T-R-A-I-N-E-R.
And Gull Road address?
I'm sorry?
Your address, sir?
212. 212.
The testimony you're about to give the team is the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth, self and God.
It is.
Thank you.
I don't know if the decisions have already been made here or not. It sounds as though they have.
No.
But let me just voice a concern or two. One is that the current building, as you, at 212 Gold Road, what we have is an upside down house. So that the kitchen is on the second floor, the deck and our meeting area is on the deck, which is closest to the property that we're talking about. And one of my questions is that the house that, as it currently stands, is an A-frame. And we have blue sky on either side of that A-frame. The home that's proposed, with deference to the architect, is boxy. We lose the blue sky. And I think that I don't want to live in the shadow of someone else's home. And that is, I believe, what we're looking at. Number two, let me go further. The building, as it's proposed, is going to come out, I think, about 8 feet or so. And that does block what small view of the ocean we do have. And that is significant. The other thing is that there's a fence that separates the properties. And that fence also extends, it's a right angle, and it turns and separates us from 157 and 159 East Atlantic Boulevard. That fence is likely, unless they're very, very careful, but accidents do happen. That fence is likely to be damaged in the process of the demolition and construction of the new home. And I would like it to be restored to its current position and condition. And have the same fence as, because we went to great care to pick out the fence that we did, we would like the identical fence replaced if necessary. Am I forgetting anything? That about covers it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for this side. Anybody on this side want to come up and speak? Seeing no further public, can I have a motion to close the public? Unless there was somebody behind.
No.
Second. Roll call, please. Or
all in favor?
All in favor.
Aye.
Public's closed. Back to the applicant to close.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to bring Ms. Fellman up for some just quick rebuttal testimony. I'm going to enter another exhibit.
That's
okay with you.
That's fine.
This exhibit is going to be A4, Gary.
Thank you, aerial photo.
And that is going to be an aerial photo of the subject property. So it's called an aerial photograph of Google Images.
So just to orient everyone, this is 64 Morningside. This is the pole driveway, and this is 210 Gull Road. This is the easement area that is being uneased from as part of the subdivision.
There's no change to that driveway, correct? That's going to remain the same.
Correct.
As it is right
We're
now.
Not touching anything there.
That was a question from the public. And then regarding Mr. Trainer's testimony, this is Mr. Trainer's house here at 212, correct?
Correct.
All right, and this is the subject property here that I'm marking my bank.
Correct.
So our house is going to be pulled over 2 feet away from his property line over here, is that correct?
Correct.
All right. And he testified about his concern about the property being boxy, but also living in the shadow. I mean, there's adequate space between our property, especially when it's going to be pulled back, and then his open space.
I would call the space even between the current buildings significant, and we're going to be improving the space between the two buildings with the proposed.
And we're also going to be improving his rear yard because we're getting rid of this garage, which is essentially on his property line.
Correct. That we're moving the garage to the opposite side of the property from his adjacent property line, and that's just going to be pool and landscape area, so it'll be much more open space than is now.
Okay. Anything else to add with regard to the aerial photograph or any of the public testimony?
I think the first questioner asked if we were changing the lot width across Gull. I may have misunderstood. The property line width at Gull is not changing. The total lot, the average lot width is being reduced because of what's happening in the current easement area.
Okay, those are all the questions.
And then there was Mrs. Crawford's question about the height of the building.
Yes, why don't you answer that? So how much higher, what's existing there now in Jersey standards versus what's proposed, the difference just in feet?
So,
approximately 4 feet, would that be accurate?
I believe so, but let me pull up the dining chart. I have my cheat sheet here. So measuring both buildings existing and proposed from CFE, the existing is 28.33 high and the proposed is 32.69.
So under 4 feet?
Yes.
Approximately under four feet.
And again, measuring from the same measurement.
Okay. Those are all the questions I have.
I guess another question, I guess you're in the front yard, you're a little further out.
Yes, the front yard is fully conforming.
Right.
But it's going to be a little bit further out.
Okay. How much, about a foot and a half? How much?
To the building or to the porches? The porches are going to go out further.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
So the existing building, its closest approach to Gull is at the front bay. And then the new building, that's at 15.75 feet from the front property line. The new building is conforming to the porch at 10.1. The mass of the building is behind the porch, and the porches are fully open. There's nothing. There's no part of the building sticking
right
out over the porches.
Yeah, how deep are the porches?
That's a good question.
10 feet.
Thank you, Mike. 10 feet deep.
Yeah, so it's significantly further back. It's going to be 20 feet to the building from the front yard set from the property line.
Yes.
So what's there now?
So the mass of the existing building is 15, almost 16 feet from the front property line. The mass of the new building, excluding the porch, is about 20 feet.
Without
porches. Without porches, correct. The porches are 10 foot
long. Do you happen to know the average height of the homes around there?
I don't have that information, sir.
Didn't expect to do it. Just guess, taking a shot.
Yes, let's provide some testimony regarding the outside shower. You designed the outside shower attached to the detached garage?
Correct. So outdoor showers are required to be within the building setbacks. However, the proposed is off the garage in order to give it more privacy for the neighbor. The garage acts as a privacy buffer on these two sides, and there's a significant landscape buffer between the shower and the remaining property lines. So we actually felt that moving it there was more private for everyone concerned than having it, you know, potentially carved into the sides of the proposed building, only a few feet from a side property line.
Any other questions, Ms. Fellner?
None.
Okay. I'll give you some brief remarks in closing because I know you'd like to hear that.
Go ahead.
We're taking a really crappy situation and trying to make it better. The way this arrangement is laid out just is not functional. There's two easements back there. As you heard the testimony, the prior owners didn't even know they had the easement. They didn't know that that parking area wasn't there. So what we're trying to do is clean that parking area, make it more functional, make it safer. In the interim, we're taking down a complete dilapidated eyesore that's got mold. I had a neighbor call me and said he was concerned about when the building was being torn down because there's so much mold in the building because of the mechanical ceiling that's leaking and apparently been leaking for years. We're getting rid of that building, and we are improving 10 existing non-conforming conditions that you heard Ms. Fellner testify. In addition to improving those 10 existing non-conforming conditions, we're also creating a building that's going to be under a north side yard setback, under an aggregate side yard setback. It's going to be 30% less than what's there now in impervious coverage, under in building coverage, and most importantly, the floor area ratio is 10% lower than what it could be. So if we're looking at the true metrics of an oversized building or a building with too much mass, you look at floor area ratio, and the floor area ratio isn't even close. We've designed what we think is a very respectful building under the circumstances. Obviously, we could have kept it the same, built the building higher, could have also whacked off the pole portion of the flag, shrunk the lot down, been 45 feet in average lot width, and then built a four-story building, three stories over parking. That would be approximately 6 or 7 feet higher than what we're proposing now, and would have a 22-foot approximately curb cut on Gull Road, and you take away 2 to 3 parking spaces on Gull Road. So what we've designed for you here is what we think is the most respectful and reasonable solution to this messy situation that's there now. I think for all those reasons, plus Ms. Fellner's excellent testimony, the board has enough evidence to grant the subdivision and request the variance. Thank you.
Thank you.
I can say we're most there, but I have one question for Mr. Shaw. Are there any other design waivers that we haven't discussed? The one was eliminated.
The only one I have from my proposed driveway, the testimony is that's not being
affected. Very good. Okay, then, Mr. Chairman, the chair can entertain a motion in the affirmative to approve the minor subdivision, which is in fact, the readjustment on the lot line, together with the variances that have been identified and testified to by Ms. Fellner. Can consider it in one motion. There's no need to have any vote on design waiver. That's been eliminated. So you'll be voting on a minor subdivision approval and the variances that have been identified. The chair can consider it in the affirmative in one motion. And gentlemen, as usual, with the instruction, when you cast your ballot, specify your reasons for the purposes on the record, please.
I just had
a question.
Randy, you brought up street trees.
Yes, I did.
Because I see them on the Gulf.
I didn't see them on the other side.
Oh, so the morning side. Okay.
Here.
Okay. I'm sorry. I just wanted to clarify that morning side.
We'll make that condition approved.
Thank you. That was it.
Okay. Based on what we've heard from our solicitor, do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second. Yeah.
That was Becker and then Shepherd.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Allegretto.
I would vote yes. Certainly, we don't like to give up height. Personally, in this case, I think the height isn't a negative property. It keeps it in line with the neighborhood and keep the neighborhood nice. I certainly would prefer to see if we could fit in extra parking every time too much variances, and if we can get extra parking, that's always preferable. But I see the different options there, and keeping street parking is pretty important in that area. And I believe, you know, kind of straightens out a lot. It's a unicorn for a city, as you say, you know, you see things like this, so it kind of makes it more conforming with that. So I say yes.
Mr. Barnes?
I say yes also. I think it's a very creative solution to a difficult situation here on that lot. The benefits outweigh the detriments. As far as, you know, the height, like as Mr. Tyler mentioned, you know, could be worse. So I think I'm going to vote yes on this.
Mr. Becker?
I'm also going to vote yes for the previously stated reason and for also getting rid of the eyesore.
Mr. Shepherd?
I vote yes for all the previously stated reasons.
Mr. Adams?
Also going to vote yes. I do also think the benefits of this application outweigh any detriments with the various variances requested. I do have a lot of past experience with a lot of the Morningside Road. I know how unusual it is, we'll just say. And this new lot line subdivision, I think, fixes, or at least makes it better. Makes it more usable, and as a result, it's going to change some of the metrics. But when you still run all the calculations, I don't think it's an unreasonable ask with the development proposed here. I think the architect's done a great job of concealing the little bit of height, additional height that's been asked for with the design. And last said with the outside shower doesn't really, I don't have a problem with that. In fact, I think it's something that should be looked at further on relief all across the citywide or something like that, because the way it's drawn here that it needs a variance, it should be permitted that way to begin with. So for all those reasons, I vote yes.
Mr. Birch?
I'm going to vote yes for all the previously stated reasons.
Mr. Loper?
I'm going to vote yes also. And looking at the height, and I haven't used this analogy in a long time, but if you go to the lower side of the cornice in this room to the top white ceiling, that's less than 4 feet. And the way she's hidden the 4 feet in the roof line, you'll never see it because it's all set back and it's just that little top triangle piece. It's not like it's a bulk of height going up. And back to Mr. Barnes, the house in the triangular lot is probably 40 feet or more high. I've built two of those houses in my time of building houses in Ocean City, and I'm familiar with that plan. And I think this is the best solution for a really awkward lot. We see a lot, but this one's really a unique anomaly. I just have to think that it's the best answer for what's here.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And Avery, Rebecca, I need those exhibits, please.
All right.
We just have a minute.
I'm just trying to find my notebook.
I got it.
We're paving Morningside, so if they need gas work,
water work,
we're not going to open that street up.
Okay, I'll tell them. Hey, I saw that coming down there.
We ran into a conflict with the water company. They have to redesign the that area, so we're not going to pave it.
Okay, I was going to ask you how much time.
A couple of months.
Can I have a motion to adopt the minutes of 10:25?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Subcommittee reports.
Which one?
What do you mean, which one?
We have taken a stab at Mr. Hartzell's last proposal, and it's still in the... up in the air.
Stabbing.
We're still stabbing at it.
Well, there is in the packet this week.
Get rid of all the maps.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, there is. Oh, the other members.
Did you map them there?
Anybody that hasn't been brought up to speed, you can read your synopsis. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to contact us. Where was that?
It's here. It's.
I don't have it.
What is it?
Whatever, it's there. I have it at home.
It should be in your packet. It's got highlighted things, although it's not highlighted. It's black and white. But it is a synopsis of what we've been working on in our subcommittee regarding the parking situation. Brought up repeatedly.
I forgot to give you one.
We don't have it.
I don't need it because I know that.
We got it for you. Is something that can be emailed to us?
I don't know what he's talking about, honestly.
So, Katie, you want to read one?
I don't know what's going
Here's
on.
One for somebody
Wait,
if they want
Let me just
it.
Take a look at it.
I don't. I didn't have it in mind, but that's beside the
You're talking. This is answers to. This is part of the application.
No. This is maybe I'm the only one that has it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what this. This is Avery's response to question 6A and B on the application. But. Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah, everybody, I don't know what he's got.
Give this to Randy. Randy wants to circulate that on the board.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Did you even get this at the last meeting? October 15th?
It was all in the oldest.
I think you got it at the October
15th. So
yeah, that was distributed in the October 15th meeting.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Everybody needs to get out of here.
You probably had the one I was missing. I thought I printed it, and then it disappeared.
You got it somehow well in mind.
Yeah.
That document explains what we've been doing for the last hour and a half months.
Yeah. It seems like forever. It's not the latest of the latest, but it's right close.
It's pretty close.
It's pretty close because it doesn't change much from minute to minute.
Like when we were doing the public access plan.
That one here was all banded up.
Yeah, I might have printed it and then accidentally stuck
That's
it.
That's okay. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
Second.